Okay, hi, it's Andy. I missed this podcast. I had conflicts with scheduling. The guys recorded, and a lot of times I text them afterwards when I'm editing the podcast about things, reacting to the podcast, things I miss, etc. But I have the funny and wonderful opportunity today to live listen to this recording while I'm editing. And, you know, if something warrants a reaction, I'm just going to throw it in. I'm going to edit it right into the podcast like it was there the whole time. I'm going to hit play, and we're going to live react together, you and me, to JJ and Michael.
All right, what's good?
What is good? What has our TV diet been? Steadily watching through our regular glut of cable shows. We're still a few episodes from the end of Shogun. I've finished What If Season 2, and probably the next thing for me to start will be X-Men 97.
I've been watching a lot of movies lately.
Okay. I was just trying to think if there's anything we overlapped on there. I definitely am interested in talking about X-Men, but I'm not interested in talking about it till you guys have seen it.
Yeah.
I imagine Andy will eventually get around to it, but it might be a while.
It might be a while.
Seems the same with Shogun.
Yes.
I really want to talk about Shogun, but we're not going to do it for a while. If we have to wait for Andy, for sure. Okay.
Okay. This is my first reaction. I'm going to pause it. I feel bad reacting to this, but it's funny. Yeah, there's a lot of TV going on. And as kids grow, they get more activities. And yeah, TV or games or whatever. I don't know, you guys. It's rough out there. But I'm glad they're making good shows. And maybe a few less of them won't be a bad thing.
Might be a shorter episode. I don't know. I guess we'll see how much COTC we talk about.
All these clears have canary in them.
Yeah.
Well, here's hoping for 2 weeks from now when I spook her on my way to Detrina.
Here's hoping for a lot of things, Michael. It's We Were Gamers, episode 402. How you doing?
Drinking back some hopium.
Bro. Big same. I'm gonna take a big sip of this hopium right here. Yep, we're hoping.
Sounds delicious.
What are you drinking?
Yeah. I will say it was really great to see you guys. I know we were all together this past weekend, and that was really fun.
It was a great occasion. It's always nice to have something to celebrate that brings us together.
Yeah. Good to see you too, Andy. Not here on assignment this week.
Okay, I'm pausing again. I had a wonderful time. I don't know if they're going to talk about it. But we had a great party celebrating JJ and his spouse's birthdays. It was really cool to see a lot of people that we don't see very often. It still feels to me like a lot of the idea of hosting parties and stuff like that is recovering years later. So, well, great job, great food, great drinks, wonderful time. Thank you for having us.
But it has been... It was a super great time. We had so much fun seeing everybody here. I didn't get everyone else out there who's listening, even though I know 98% of them are definitely not listening. I didn't get to visit with everyone as much as I wanted, but I really appreciated everyone coming out. And we had such a blast having everybody here. So thank you all so much from me. But also, it has just been a smorgasbord of riches over here, Michael.
Because. Oh, yeah?
Every day is leftover tacos day now.
Hey, man, those were some good tacos.
And they were some good tacos. And you're just like, well, guess I have to make some tacos and take them to lunch for work. Oh, well, what am I going to do? It's like, which of these embarrassment of riches will I deal with? The only thing that's a downside is there was a lot of guacamole left over. And you kind of got to eat that. You don't have a long shelf life on the guacamole. So we're kind of...
Got to power through that first.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want like to take a giant container of guacamole and chips with every meal, but I am doing it now because this guacamole is not happening. To waste. Yeah, so.
Well, that's good.
Is what it is. But, you know, again, like I said, eating good over here, so can't complain too much. How's the weekend finished treating you guys? Everything go okay? You guys made it back home safe, obviously.
Yeah. The traffic that we saw on the traffic was strangely bad in both directions when we were coming down, actually. But it had thankfully all cleared up by the time that we were headed back north.
That's good.
Yeah. So, it was an easy trip home. And then we spent a good chunk of the day yesterday at Disney.
Oh, very fun. You guys are just out and about.
Yeah, so they right now are in the early stages. I think it's just been going for a week now of Pixar Fest, which I think is new. I think this is the first year they're doing it, at least out here.
Nope. I have multiple things merchandise-wise from Pixar Fest. It has taken a break, however.
But it's a celebration of all things Pixar. They rolled out a bunch of new decorations. They're doing new food booths, kind of a la the food and wine festivals. Yeah. My favorite of which is one from Inside Out called Hangar Management.
All right. Okay. I like it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of really good sounding food. So we tried a couple of things and we'll be going back for more.
Is this specifically California Adventure or is it in Disneyland also? Or
so the booths are specifically in California Adventure, but they have food throughout both parks for it.
Okay. So as it was before, all those booths are still in the sort of the same places they were in California Adventure.
Surprisingly, actually they're not. And this was one of the things that shocked me a little bit. Normally the booths are all in a stretch right there along the waterfront across from what is now San Francisco Pier.
Right. That sort of like a boardwalk area right there.
Yeah, exactly. But now there are none of the booths along that stretch. In part, I think because they've got a Pixar parade going on. And so they've cleared that as the parade route.
So then did they move the booths to like Cars Land or the other side of the pier or the other side of the lake or what?
They're a little bit spread out. So, yeah, there's a couple over on the pier and then a couple closer down towards the entrance, towards the circle.
Okay, so back over towards that like Main Street-ish type area.
Yeah.
Got you. And then as you go off towards Hollywood or wherever that is. Okay, interesting. Well, I'm curious to hear, you know, if you guys have updates on that, how it is. Because again, it's like, I'm not coming up there for this. It is interesting to hear because we really enjoyed the Food and Wine Festival that time we came. Was it several years ago at this point? But. You know, it would be cool to hear if these other events are as good.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how this one goes. Like I said, it's the first year, I think, that they've done it here. So we'll see. We were joking that they're just going to have back-to-back food festivals from the beginning of the year to the end.
You know, I wouldn't put it past them, right?
I mean, they've been going pretty much straight through from January at this point.
Yeah, I get the feeling someone in their, like, operations center was like, how can we make more money? And like, this was their thought, right?
Yeah, in all the non-summer months.
Constant special events, right? Okay. Well, very cool. Disney is always a good time, of course, so you can't be mad.
Yeah.
All right. Wanted to also check in. I know folks are probably not the most tuned into this, but this is this podcast, so you know. We're going to talk about Champions of the Continent. We're going to do it eventually. It's been a little bit. We're coming back around. There was a big tavern talk today, Michael, where they unloaded on us some forthcoming updates.
Yeah, they had some news to share, and some of it I think was expected. And then we got a bit of a surprise there at the end where they normally bury the things you only kind of care about content.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's start from the, you know, from the boring or more boring end, I guess, for us enfranchised players. Maybe it's less boring for the people who haven't done it. But they're rerunning the Nier Automata banner, right? The Nier Automata whole thing, I guess. It's not just the units that they're running. They're also rerunning all the, like, special hunts and events according to that.
Yeah, they're basically just running back the whole thing, which makes sense because there was a lot of kind of clamor that had started to turn into jokes about we're just never going to get Nier rerun. They're just going to keep running Bravely Default over and over.
Yeah.
Because it's been like a year and 2 months, I think, since they did the collaboration for Nier the first time, which is way longer than I think any stretch that the JP version went without rerunning one of the collabs.
Right. And I think the full collab rerun schedule in JP was something like every 6 months or something. They got some kind of collab, right? Something like that.
Yes. And we're not far off from that schedule, but we've gotten the other collabs instead every time. So we've seen Bravely again, we've seen Triangle Strategy again, which was much more recent in terms of when that collab originally launched.
Right. It felt like the Triangle Strategy collab came around again, like, very soon after we had had it the first time, right?
Yeah. I think they knew that people knew that they had missed an opportunity on some really good units on that Triangle Strategy collab.
And they were right.
They were absolutely right. But they were much more willing to rerun that one again because they knew people would pull for it.
Okay, this kind of bumps me out because the first time around I had the rubies and could have pre-planned to run this entire thing and take the Roland and all that. And the debate in the community over whether or not it was worth to pull, etc., whether the unit would stay good, all that really didn't help out. It was too back and forth. And then by the time it came back around again, I had accidentally pulled on Bravely 2 and Bravely Default the rerun. And so I couldn't pull because other units were coming. It was big, big bait time. You know what I mean? They ran Triangle Strategy because they were good units, but also right around the corner were Elrica and Arune.
Yeah, I think they were correctly noticing that. Yeah, you know, people were pulling the first time thinking like, oh, well, you know, Serenoa is pretty decent and, you know, you're going to get all his Awakening Stones anyway. There's not like a rush to deal with him. But Frederica was kind of the one that people thought was going to be powerful. And then it turns out the buffs they had given to Roland were actually insane. And he's like a god tier spear unit if you include, you know, some other spear DPS in your comp. So it made sense that people would then go nuts to try and get Roland because he is very good. I have no idea if his Awakenings are actually any good, but just having him is a huge upgrade for spear DPS.
I think he's one of those units where every Awakening level that you get adds good utility to his kit.
Yeah. I guess maybe the only one that doesn't matter is the extra 1,000 HP, right? Because, like, he's dancing around the front line all the time anyway, so, like...
Yeah, and that A3 level has become less important with the arrival of pets.
Totally. It's so much easier with all the pet stuff to boost HP kind of insanely. And like also the proliferation of like high powered trinkets that have some of them feel like they just have like 200-300 HP stapled on there. Just like
everything 60, else.
60 attack, 60 defense, I don't know, 300 HP? Yeah, sure, whatever. Okay, 10% damage to weaknesses. I don't know, whatever. Staple it on there. Definitely feels like that. Especially with like all the like, you know, the 4-star A4 trinkets and the proliferation of all the like, you know, A4s from the arena units that we're getting and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. Yeah, and you mentioning, we'll get there in a second, but yeah, so Nier's coming back. We get the full thing. I don't think that, I think another reason why maybe the timing of this rerun is strategic is that when Nier originally ran, I think 9S was kind of the meme unit of the three, of 9S, 2B, and A2.
Yeah, and he was bad. We got him for free, though, so it wasn't as bad.
We did, and I do think it's a little unfortunate that they're not throwing him out again for the players who missed it the first time. But I understand that.
Yeah, feels bad for them for sure. But again, like, you don't need him. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. But in terms of the three, I don't think that 2B has really aged very well.
Yeah, I think her utility at the time and, you know, the time since then was she was actually like amazing in the Warrior Tower for a while.
Yes.
Because she had really powerful multi-hit sword attacks and multi-hit dark attacks,
which no one had at that point.
The only person who had sword and dark was Fior regular. And her dark attack is a one hit, which you need multi-hit.
Yeah,
so
it's not
badly.
Doing anything for you.
Yeah. If you have to waste her turn casting a single hit dark, you're in trouble. So she was really good for that. But we've sort of overpowered the Warrior EX5 at this point so badly that, yes, you still need to worry about the like elemental weaknesses and stuff. But as long as you have multiple people of the various categories, it's like multiple people can do multi-hit ice now. Multiple people can do multi-hit lightnings. There's several people who can do multi-hit winds, right? Multiple hit people that can do multi-hit light, and now people that can do light and dark piercing if you have Erica. Or Elrica, right? So
yeah, it's
all this stuff. Yeah,
her utility has been overtaken.
Yeah, and it's not that she's not good. You would probably still take her to the Warrior Tower because, I mean, who else? What are you going to do? Take, like, you know, Lionel? Actually, you probably would because he has a 3-hit single target ice, which is pretty good. But, you know, there are not likely to be 7 better warriors in your team than her, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, she's kind of fallen far enough down the order that you're not really considering her most of the time. So yeah, but A2 is still a prize, I think, at this point, right?
And I think so. Her utility has held on. I have used her very recently in clearing some EX3 content. So, you know, end of game content, she's still more than carrying her weight.
And I think this is the first time we have a separated banner, because before, I think definitely for the free one, I don't remember if the paid ones were also separated before.
I think they were. I think the paid ones were separated before.
Okay, so this is exactly the same structure completely. No changes at all.
I don't remember if the paid banners this time around are guaranteed feature unit if you do the fifth step of the paid banner. And I don't remember if that was the case before or if it was the 50% chance at the featured unit.
Got you. Okay. Well, I mean, either way, I don't think you and I are planning it as the only people who have spent any money on this game whatsoever. I don't think we're planning to run any money at all, even into the near banner, even free, pay free rubies, right? I don't think that there's much there if you already have a single copy of A2.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there is utility to her awakenings as well.
Oh, for sure. Like A1 increases her damage a whole bunch. A2 on A2. That's not confusing. The Android A2, her second awakening, is very useful because she has so many different multi-hit and attack skills that can hit so many different weaknesses. It's super useful to be able to bring a bunch of them.
Yes, and then one nuke on whatever the highest potency is going to be.
Yeah, and the Berserk skill, right?
Right.
Or, you know, if you're just doing regular content, ignore the Berserk skill and just take, like, 3 hits of every weapon type and then your favorite nuke, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, very useful. Again, the 1,000 HP for the third awakening is kind of a joke, but, you know, that's how it is. And I think her A4 is pretty good also. I still see it used by people that are paying lots of money.
Yes. Yeah, it's used pretty widely.
But not for us. Not going to be doing any of that.
In part because of what's coming right behind them and why I say I think this is a little bit strategic.
Yep.
Knowing that people who don't have A2 are going to want to pull for her, they followed it up by telling us that we get an intermediary week next week with actually some cool content, because we get finally the refights of the first four arena champions.
So I guess I didn't know that this was like something that was coming, because you could always refight them through
the memoirs,
right? Those refights would earn you currencies, which you could then trade in to get their like bonus accessories or awakening stones or stuff, which you can still do if you're clearing the towers weekly and you get their extra awakening stones that you can't use beyond A4 U10, and trade those in for like their gold shards or their accessories and stuff. Right. So I have been doing that. And at this point, I think all the ones that are coming up here, I already have A4 U10. And it's just a question of like, are they all level 100 yet?
Exactly. Yep.
But now we're getting them in the adversary log, right?
Yes. So the same structure as all the other fights in the adversary log, 6 levels of difficulty, the first level being exactly what they were in the arena. And then the 1, 2, 3 levels being slightly harder variations of that. And then there's a step change in difficulty for the EX1 through EX3 versions.
Do we know anything about those fights? Has anyone talked about it? I haven't seen anything on the internet about them.
So if you can look up some of the JP streamers who have taken on some of those fights.
Okay.
They hit a lot harder and they have a lot more HP.
Which you would expect. I mean, especially like Tiki Len and Gertrude and some of the other ones, you could pretty much just solo in one break at this point.
Yes.
But having more HP doesn't like actually make them hard.
No, but they might, and I'm not 100% sure, but they might have slightly different gimmicks too.
Okay, so if they remix their moves and stuff, that would be interesting. Because at some point, if it's just the same sets of moves, all you have to do is set up the same team and then just like outfit them to the nines with pets and every kind of broken buff that you can find to nuke the crap out of them, right? Which I mean is sort of the way you win in this game anyway.
Yeah, you just play it a little bit slower.
Right. I think, you know, it is a bit sad, but in this game, I think the era of the, like, I can survive forever really long fights are just kind of over. I don't know that you can ever succeed with that strategy anymore.
I think we knew this was coming just based on the JP foresight, but it's definitely one of those games where the best offense is a better offense.
Real quick. They did have that note from the producers of the game in JP recently that said in Sallista they're going to reimagine some of these fights to not just be how fast can you nuke, but a lot of survivability-based stuff. I think Prim and Dream were talking about that recently, but I don't know that that's come to fruition or that it ever will.
Having defense is like, you would trade every point of defense you have for like 15 more points of offense if you could, probably. Yeah,
exactly.
Right? Yeah, it's, you know, it is kind of a meme, but especially with the way like how powerful some of the tanks are now, and you know, you have Fiori X who can literally just negate the entire damage capabilities of some of the damage, probably some of these fights, I would guess.
Yeah, very likely.
I don't know. I don't remember all of them. Definitely, I think almost all of them have at least one. Almost all the arena fights at the early point have like 2 or 3 other people there. And I think the other people may be casting magic or doing physical attacks, which would then sort of mess up Fiori X just like one ability-ing the whole fight, right?
Yeah. Now you could mitigate some more of it by parking Hammy behind her. And using the opposite kind of trap. So
yeah,
magic trap on top of physical dodge.
Right. So I think that I don't know that there's a way to stop that. The only issue being that I think, Hammy's stuff does do taunt, right?
It does. Yes.
Yeah. So that kind of or similarly, I think you can do something pretty similar with Hana EX, right?
Yes, you can.
So I think there's, you know, the cheese is available for the people that want to cheese these fights. But so what do you actually – so you said there's like some interesting rewards for this stuff at the high levels. What are you actually getting? I didn't see the stream, and I didn't see the actual like the shots of the trinkets.
Yeah, so the breakdown is kind of similar to what the EX fights are now. One of the levels, there are still two levels that give you rubies. So one is worth 10, one is worth, the highest level is worth 30.
Yeah, I think that's the case before, right?
Yep, you still get some gold guide stones from one of them. But I think the two most interesting things are that one, you get an Arcana stone of the arena character for beating the EX one refight. Maybe it's one of the lower levels, but I think it's the EX one refight. And the casting of the Arcana Stone is the same as that character's ult.
So that's pretty interesting. At least the early ones I remember, Tiki Lin's ult is like a 4-6 hit random target wind, which if there's only one enemy and they're weak to wind, that's pretty all right.
Yep.
Varkens is an AoE light attack, which is kind of mid.
Yeah, it's a light nuke. It might be single target.
Okay, a single target might be better, but kind of mid. Ritu's is also just a big dagger nuke, I think, and then also prevents you from gaining BP.
Yeah,
I guess if it's an Arcana Stone, I guess it doesn't matter.
Right, yeah, there's no drawback there.
But and then just a single big nuke is kind of whatever.
Glossom's, I think, is a 5-8 hit fan or 6-8 hit fan, something like that.
Okay, so also single or random target, which is kind of whatever.
Yeah, shield shave.
Shield shaving, yeah. On some fight, it will be very good because there will be some fight where you need randomly 6 hits of fan or whatever.
Yeah, and the fact that you can just keep casting it for the cost of the Arcana BP.
Right. So again, it's one of those where like you know, depending on how many Arcana stones it takes to cast it, right? Some of them will be less, some will be more, but you have to wait so many turns in order to cast it.
Exactly.
But you know, every 3 turns or whatever, if you get 6 extra hits of fan shield shaving or whatever, no one is going to complain.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good.
Or wind or whatever the other ones are.
Yeah. So that's one. But then I think the EX2 fight is one of the big prizes. There is a new accessory for clearing each one of those. And they are on the level of the Elite Tower accessories where it's plus 100 to either the physical attack or the magic attack from the ones that I saw. It generally, I think they're also minus 100 to the opposite one, but typically you're only kidding a unit for one or the other.
Right. I mean, you know, the Elite Tower accessories, like the one I'm familiar with is like, was it the Kraken one or the plant one where it's like plus 100 on your physical stats and minus... Yeah, it's like plus 100 physical attack, plus 100, minus 100 physical defense.
Yep.
And then plus 100 magical attack and minus 100 magical defense or something exactly. Like that.
Yep.
And you'll make that trade off every single time. It's like whatever your DPS is, you just give them that trinket without thinking almost every time. It's really good.
Yeah, so they're on that same level. And then, you know, on top of just the stats, they have some pretty good effects too. So plus 20%, one of them, I think Glossom's was plus 20% damage to broken enemies.
Okay. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's better than the ones we have currently that are 5 or 10% maybe?
10%, I think. So yeah, make your damage turns count a lot more.
Yeah, those are, that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
I think the concern there reasonably then is, are these going to be as hard as some of those elite fights? Because those elite fights are extreme BS.
I'm going to say yes and no, because they will be hard, but they will also be designed to be won as a single fight.
Yeah, I guess that's true. The elite ones change their weaknesses halfway through and other parts of ways through, which make them kind of really annoying to actually do in one fight.
Yeah, they're meant for you to take multiple teams to them, those elite fights.
Yeah, and I guess the other problem with those elite fights is that they also have a hard timer limit, right? And these probably won't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I'm getting close this week, now that the towers have refreshed, I think I can make my last attempt to beat Elite Floor 1 in only 3 tries.
Okay.
I've done 2 so far, and it's pretty low. And so I think I have a shot.
All right.
I got to see
the end from there.
I got to do like 25% or something with only one party, but I think
that's doable.
The problem is they start with a lot of actions now, so you don't have many turns to like set up and get going like you do at the beginning.
Renew is really helpful for that last stretch, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely she's been on every team. The reason it takes so long is that I need her every time.
Yep.
So we'll crossing my fingers there on that one. Hopefully that goes well.
Yeah. But none of that was even the big news. The big news is that in 2 weeks we get another Sacred Blaze and they're finally dropping Detrino on us.
Yeah. So I'm not clear how I think this was expected to come soon. I don't think we knew when, but
yes,
seems like this is the time. And I guess the question now is, do we think Detrina, or however we're pronouncing her name today, is... So this is the real question here for us COTC players, Michael. Is this banner worth going crazy on Sacred Blaze? Because Sacred Blaze is a bad deal, just generally.
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of pieces to it. The first and probably the most important is...
I'm really curious.
If you going in on this banner would cause you to miss out on either ODOO or the Sazanto Cigna banners that are coming up, then it is not worth it. Hard stop.
So I think the other question, though, is ODOO is like... not the only person on that banner, right? The Sazanto Cigna ones, everyone has agreed that those units are amazing.
Yeah.
And we should be getting them, right? But the Live Alive collab, which is where ODOO is from, aren't there like kind of a bunch of crap units and then also ODOO, who's really good?
Yeah, it's him and some other guys.
So I'm sure you've listened to the Octopod at this point, right?
We've
referenced them before, a group of like heavy playing streamers who have both played JP and English in this game and like sort of know a lot about the differences. They have sort of said, yes, like ODOO is still like really amazing, but the problem is his banner is so horrible.
Yeah, you run the risk of having to throw 6,000 rubies at it to pity him.
Right, and like very likely you won't get him because you're likely to get the other troll characters, right? And it's not like they're completely useless, but they're just not as good as a bunch of the other characters, right? So like knowing that, right? Yeah, like how often is the Live Alive collab going to be rerun? Probably very infrequently based on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems definitely like an A2 near situation where they're going to rerun this very infrequently and this is the one best character. So you got to, if you want that guy, you got to plan 6,000 rubies for that. Then are you safe to say then that, like, what if you just say, well, F this guy, and I'm just going to do Sazanto Cigna, right?
Right. Then
quite a bit more runway, I think, if you do that.
You do. Yep. Yeah. So this banner with Detrina will probably be your big pull for the next 2 months, probably, because basically between now and the second anniversary.
Right. So I guess my question is, it sounds like you're interested in doing this. You're going to go in on Detrina. So what is your ruby count? Where's your levels at that you feel okay with this?
So my ruby count is almost, it's high enough to almost be irrelevant to the conversation, but I'm at 20,200 ish.
Okay. So yeah, you have more than enough.
I got to pause. Michael's is still that high due to the, what was it? They don't call it a glitch, but the glitchy nature of getting all those rubies from that other game. We talked about it about 10 episodes ago. He didn't spend for all that, but was able to spend a bunch of time in another game and get a bunch of rubies, which they then quelled immediately after a bunch of players finished it and never offered it to iOS. So, ugh. But anyway, it must be nice. to not worry about these sorts of things. When they're done with this conversation, I'll throw some ideas out there, because I have probably a little bit more unique perspective with a pretty low Ruby count.
Right. So I have more than enough to just fully go to pity on both this banner and the Live Alive collab, and still have enough for Cygnus Xanatos if it comes to that.
Okay.
But so beyond that, even if my count were a little bit lower, I think that I would still be willing to go in on this banner, in part because I've basically started skipping the Sacred Blaze banners because they're not the best deal. And so I, you know, the odds aren't great of pulling a non-banner character, a non-banner Sacred Blaze, but I also don't really have any of the other ones. So there's a lot of untapped potential for me in the banner in terms of pulling some new units.
And to be clear, it's not like you get like awesome odds of pulling those other non.
No, they're just regular odds, I think, for all the other characters.
So they're pretty bad, but at least there's something in the pool, I guess.
Yeah.
So you're not likely to get them, to be clear, right? If you're going to pity on Sacred Blaze for Dieterena, you're probably only getting Dieterena, right? Like, that's how...
Yeah, I'm not banking on anything else.
But, you know, if one of the other Sacred Blaze characters, I'm guessing you're probably thinking, like, Leon and Canary.
Those are the top two, yeah.
I guess I don't remember who else is technically Sacred Blaze.
Liana, Zinnia, Odette.
Odette, okay. Zinnia, yeah.
There's a merchant whose name I'm forgetting. And then Teethy.
Okay. Yeah, Teethy, I think, doesn't show up too frequently and stuff, but she has shown up every now and then. She has, like, some weird skills that are relevant in certain fights, right?
Yes. Yeah, she does.
Debuffing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, I said I'm still on the fence. With only like 7,500, 7,600 rubies, I'm definitely in the range where I would potentially miss out on both Live Alive and Xanatos Agnos. Xanatos and Cygna. So, I don't know. I do also kind of want those other Sacred Blaze characters, but yeah. I don't know. I've kind of skipped a lot of Sacred Blaze up to this point. If I keep doing it, am I going to feel that bad about it? Maybe no, right?
Yeah, and Sacred Blaze is one of those things that it's constantly recurring, and at least, you know, the foresight that we have, the next few Sacred Blaze characters, there are a couple that are scattered in there that are also pretty good, so...
I don't think there are too many more Sacred Blaze characters, though. I think in JP, there's like two more than we have now? Or something, maybe one or two more. So not a lot of Sacred Blaze rerunning, probably, unless they're just going to rerun it with current units that are already there, right?
Yep. Yeah, you're right. There are just two more. I happen to have the list open. So yeah, I know of the two, the one that's further out from where we are is also supposed to be really good at turning Bow into an actual real team comp instead of a meme.
Okay. Well, I mean, hey, I would take that. I have a lot of good bow units at this point, man. I am working that Hunter Tower every time. It's just like easy. So
yeah.
Give me some good bow fights, but they have never done that, sadly. So, all right, man. Well, that's probably enough COTC for the people out there.
Very funny, because I'm going to interrupt right now. And just throw some thoughts in there from a low pool. It sounds like I'm very close to JJ with only about 5,000 rubies, and regurgitating the Octopod people. Basically, if you don't get Cygna, you're going to be in big, big trouble for a lot of the fights later on. And their thought on Dietrina, or however you want to pronounce her name, is that she's good for a very, very short amount of time and kind of falls off very quickly. Listening to the list of Sacred Blaze actually confirmed my theory that I'm going to skip her until that bow character comes out. I have never pulled on a Sacred Blaze. I don't think it's a good value. The units were good. They're good for very short amounts of time when they came out, but they're not good for very long. and the pull rate is so low that it's just not worth it. And I think once that bow guy comes out, all those characters are still there, but those characters, you know, maybe I could pull TT and use her, but literally, like, all the other ones have been replaceable, and the fights that they were useful for have now been overpowered, so, like, I don't need the wind character anymore, especially if we're going to get an even more upgraded Tiki Len, you know, so that, and I think it'll surprise a lot of people, I'm going to also skip ODOO. I think Sword is strong enough, and the meta eventually shifts away from Sword, especially once Sallista comes, and we're not that far off. So surviving on Sazantos alone, along with Elrica, who I did end up pulling, and Wrath and other people, is probably sufficient. Odio is good at boosting people, but I don't even have all the boost units yet, you know, like Solon and these others that you'd want to have around Odio. So I think I'm skipping until second anniversary at this point, which is going to be pretty depressing and hard to do. But if you're playing these games, and you're playing them for free, because I haven't spent, you kind of really have to. And I was bad at this at first. I'm not saying I was good at this. And I pulled on bad banners, or I've even pulled on rerun banners for characters just because I wanted them upgraded versus thinking about their utility in the long run. And I think a balance of that is okay, but too much of it, and you end up where I'm at, where it's like, I don't have fast economy for replacing these rubies anymore. I've done most of the side stuff that I could get rubies from, except for EX fights in the adversary log. It's tough to do. So probably skipping when they say skipping is okay is what I'll be doing.
So I have something for you, JJ, because I know I'm gonna send you this, and you can take a look at it while we talk about it. But I know that you are a Mario Maker fan.
Yeah, I have played Mario Maker 1 and 2. I enjoyed both of those games quite a bit. I had, I think, a lot more fun with Mario Maker 1, to be honest with you. Not because, like, I'm some god Mario player or anything. I'm quite terrible. But I think something about the Wii U and holding the stylus and, like, making my little levels on the touchpad was, like, really great. Okay. And to be honest with you, my Switch is a docked machine and I play on a TV. Like, I'm never taking that thing mobile.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be different if I wasn't doing that. I don't know. But, I mean, Mario Maker has been fun. Even Mario Maker 2, I enjoyed playing a bunch of the levels. When they added the, like, course update, I went back and played a bunch. So what is the new Mario Maker thing? Hit me.
So I dropped a link to a video in the Discord chat, but a couple of modders have released Mario Builder 64, and it's exactly what the name implies.
Wow.
Yeah,
I had to click on this. So for folks that haven't seen this, this is like a Mario Maker interface type thing, but it looks like it's built in Mario 64.
It is a mod for Mario 64. So you could run theoretically
build Mario 64 levels.
Yeah. You could run it on your Nintendo 64, although the caveat I saw was that the increased level size that it lets you build would probably lead to some slowdowns on the hardware.
LOLOL.
You know, it's one of those where, like, I think this is meant for PCs. No one is talking about running this on an N64.
Yeah.
But wow, that's cool. I didn't even know something like this was possible.
Yeah. So I had no idea this was a thing that anyone was working on, but I know it was something that you would hear people sort of wistfully lamenting wasn't a possibility in Mario Maker.
Yeah. But I think it makes a lot of sense when you really think about how 3D levels are designed. Like, so something I wonder about this is, like, how much of this is using what Mario 64 had, and how much of it is they just wrote a bunch of code that allows you to build 3D levels in, like, using tiles, basically.
Yeah.
Right. And then from that, people can stitch together their own levels, you know? They wrote some code to like stitch together tiles and things together, as opposed to someone like saying, I have coded a level in Mario 64, which right. is a completely different thing. Like writing a code to create a thing is a lot different than hand authoring the entire level yourself. Right.
Yeah.
Mario 64 always using blocks kind of under the hood? I don't know. Maybe it was. I'm not
maybe
sure.
Maybe it was. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So it's that clip of it looks really cool. In fact, there's a moment in there, if you're paying close attention, where someone has made a level that is, it has the art of the original Super Mario Brothers, but in 3D.
Oh, cool. I got to watch this video when I'm not on this podcast.
Yeah.
But that's very cool. Yeah, it must have a bunch of tools that like are not available to like the N64 natively, right?
I'm sure it does. Yeah, I'm sure they built an interface on the back end for all of the creation side of things. But it looks like Mario Maker, where you go through and you pick your blocks and you pick your enemies and lay everything out on a, in this case, 3D grid.
Mm-hmm. It's so cool, man. I don't know. I think the is it a hot take to say that, like, I've never thought Mario 64 was, like, the greatest game? I enjoyed playing it. It was awesome. It was a great time. But it was never, like, the game for me, you know?
Yes, that's a hot take.
I don't know if it's a hot take anymore.
Yeah. I feel like there's...
far enough out.
Yeah. I guess there's some people who are, like, Mario 64 was like the greatest platformer of all time. And I'm like, did you guys play that level with the penguin? I don't know. There's some pretty dumb levels later, like that ghost level. Like there's a bunch of the really stupid ones later that are not like the really janky one with the huge whirlpool in the center where you have to like go down and up and like not accidentally get caught in the thing or else you like float to the top unless you have the metal shoes or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Mario 64, it was so important for breaking the ground that it did.
Absolutely. And it is still a classic game. It is like worth replaying. It is still fun to play in short times, you know. I don't want to get every star ever again. Like some of those you definitely played this when you were younger, right? Getting some of those stars in that level where you have to get like all the red coins was just like completely insane.
they bury
those coins in the middle of nowhere, like a box that you're never going to get to or up a tree or whatever. It was horrible. And some of the other ones are like, you know, pretty obtuse and weird. I think a lot of them are like the vast majority of them are fine, but there are some that just really suck, you know? And if you're going to get every star or whatever, it's a huge hassle. But, you know, thankfully the game doesn't require you to do that, so you can beat Bowser with no problem without doing that, right?
Yeah.
But, man. Yeah. So, like, I think it's cool, and this is cool for what it will enable for the people who are willing to do this work. It won't be me, though, obviously. I mean, like, I'm not making these levels, which I think, you know, we weren't going to do that anyway. That wasn't for us. But I also think I'm also not going to play any of these levels either.
But I do like that they created the online database so that you can go out and just pull any of the levels that other people have made and play them if you are so inclined.
Yeah, I mean, it's the genius thing that really Nintendo should have had, right? And because it's a system that's just the PC and the internet, and you just scan a QR code or whatever, like, you could just do it easy. Instead of having to enter a friend code and type in your Switches, like all these stupid like things you have to do to search up levels in Mario Maker.
I really wish that Nintendo was a cool enough company. And I understand their desire to protect IP and all this kind of stuff. But when they see cool ideas like this, they just reach out to people and buy these things and like use them, you know, because it's probably really hard to integrate or whatever into their platforms. But the idea that this could be like an officially released and polished Nintendo product with just a little bit of money could make them a more fun accessible company for a lot of their fans. But maybe that's part of the appeal, is doing these things away from Nintendo's view and then releasing them. I don't know.
Yeah, let me just go to the database and scroll.
And then, you know, hit go and then open Mario and play the game. Like, it just lets you do it, you know? You don't have to be weird about it. But it's nice that they did the work, because truly having this tool would be one thing. And you're like, oh, there's some crazy people who like make really intricate levels or whatever. But like having the database has really made it like so accessible and easy for people that make these. So that's like super cool. I'm sure, you know, Mario 64 ROM hacking was already a thing, and I'm sure it's now going to explode.
Oh, for sure.
That's very cool. The only real thing I've been getting up to, I know, probably got a couple more things we could talk about outside of games. I do want to talk about games while we're on the game subject here a little bit. I have still been playing some Vampire Survivors Operation Guns.
Yeah, how has that Contra DLC been treating you?
It's been pretty good, man. You know, the Vampire Survivors is really silly. But I have been enjoying playing the adventure mode. So, you know, starting over from scratch with no upgrades, no extra heroes, only the Contra stuff. So you don't have any of the other overpowered weapons. All the weapons are overpowered in that game. Yes. But you have to only use the Contra stuff to get through the Contra levels to like accomplish the goals. So that's been interesting. Definitely. I've been enjoying it. You know, it's like when you want to play a game, but you don't really want to think very hard. And you kind of just want to like, you know, walk around and murder some enemies and stuff. It's been cool. So I've been like slowly unlocking a couple characters here, a weapon there, another stage, so on and so forth. So it's been really fun. Totally worth the $3 or whatever the heck they charge for this stuff. Way too little. What are you guys doing? Charge more. Come on. People are trying to give you money and you're not doing it.
Not that we're complaining.
Not that we're complaining, right? Yeah. I bought it. So I haven't really bought, I think I bought their first DLC and then I stopped for a while. And then this is the next one I bought. So okay. Look, they got me. Okay. What else have we been up to, Michael? You seen any good movies?
I don't know that I have seen much in the way of new movies recently, but I did. I was reminded of something and I had a take on it. And I wanted to share the take because I thought that you and Andy, if he were here, would appreciate the take.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay.
I saw a clip again, just in scrolling through YouTube the other day, of the best scenes of Lex Grossman from Tropic Thunder.
Okay, the Tom Cruise character.
Yes, for those who don't know, the Tom Cruise character from Tropic Thunder, which was kind of a farce of an action movie.
Totally.
And in watching him just like be ridiculous in the role, I had the thought that great as Tom Cruise is and iconic as some of his characters have been, this to me might be one of the better parts that he's played because, and there's a reason for it, because it is one of the few roles that is funnier the more familiar you are with Tom Cruise.
I mean, they definitely cast him against type, right? They had him play a like balding Jewish guy.
Yeah, just like super cutthroat movie exec,
right? Like a you know, a cutthroat media exec, like Kingpin, and he is the like suave action hero guy who is not like, that's not usually a Jewish character. Yeah. Typically in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so like, the for you to understand the humor in the juxtaposition, you have to have seen his other work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And to me half the joke of the character is the fact that it's movie star Tom Cruise playing this role, right? There are a dozen people I could name off the top of my head who would have been equally funny telling the jokes.
Sure.
But the bigger joke of who's playing the character would not have landed the same way.
I mean, I think the funniest part about it is you know, the people making the movie, was it a Ben Stiller production or Robert Downey
yes.
Jr.? I don't
it was
know who
Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller came up with it. So like Ben Stiller is making this, you know, action movie farce, like kind of Apocalypse Now, Vietnam send up or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, we're going to get Tom Cruise cameo. Yeah. Like, all right, what are we going to do with the Tom Cruise cameo? We're going to have him play a Jewish guy who like yells into the phone and like doesn't have any action scenes. Right. It's very much like a, I can feel the comedians in the writer's room all laughing, right? Like one of those kind of things.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a defensible take. I don't know if I can go there with you, but I think that it's a, I think you can defend this and I think it's reasonable, right? Because it is true that half of the joke is that it's Tom Cruise.
Exactly.
And especially if you don't recognize him, because they do like a decently job of like not making him look like Tom Cruise.
Oh yeah. He's made up. They've like pad a whole bunch of weight onto him and the,
right.
the beard and the balding, like thinning hair.
So you, if you don't see it, right. Although I think it's pretty easy to see if you're like looking at his eyes, like
yeah.
he really looks like him, you know, but he also doesn't really look like him. So yeah, I guess it depends on how closely you're watching the movie. But if you see it, like, I agree with you that half the joke is that it's Tom Cruise. And that is like very funny just on a base layer. You know, and then, you know, from there, he delivers the lines and it's funny. But
yeah. And then he has the dance scene during the credits.
Right. Yeah. So good. Again, like you can hear the comedians being like writing the lines and being like, what would be funny? Can we make him dance? That would be funny. You know, it's like, we know he can dance. We all saw Risky Business, right?
Right.
You know, so that was very much a like, is it as Risky Business? Is
yeah.
that the right one?
Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It is. Yeah. Yeah. So that would be it. What do you think about the rest of that movie though? Let's ignore Tom Cruise. Yeah. Talking about Tropic Thunder now.
I will say that when I saw it at the time and it was probably the group of friends that I saw it with, I laughed through the whole thing.
Yeah, I haven't re-watched it recently. I remember thinking it was very funny at the time, but it's been a bit of time since then, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know how I would feel about the jokes again, more removed from the context of like the action movies they were satirizing, right?
Yeah, some of them I'm pretty sure would not age that well.
Like, I think the Robert Downey Jr. in blackface is probably going to be the part that ages the least well, the most quickly.
Yes, followed by some of the homophobia in the movie.
Yeah, that was going to be the other thing I was going to say is like, I think this came out at the tail end of where that was still acceptable.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not acceptable, but like it is the tail end of where it was done commonly in the right. time. Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to go rewatch Tropic Thunder, but I think that that's one of those cases where like, maybe I should, maybe it would be worth rewatching again. It would still be pretty funny.
There are parts of it that are definitely still just as funny. I caught like half of it not too long ago.
Nice.
But it's also one of those things that's just like the whole movie is lousy with star power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the whole cast is like stacked in that, right? It's Ben Stiller, Robert Downey Jr.,
Jack Black.
Yeah. Oh man, I forgot Jack Black is in that movie too.
Matthew McConaughey.
McConaughey is in it. Yep.
Nick Nolte.
Oh, he's the.
He's the vet.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the guy's name? Danny
McBride.
Oh, McBride. Danny McBride.
Danny McBride. Yeah, there we go. I love him.
Yep, he's in the demolitions expert.
Right. God, so good.
And then, you know, there's a whole tier underneath them. Like Bill Hader is in it.
Oh, Bill Hader. What a classic.
Oh, I'm going to forget the British comedian who plays the director. Who gets blown up by the landmine.
Yes. That's a famous guy. All right, hold on. We're on air research.
Steve Coogan.
There you go. Yes.
That's him.
Yes. Classic.
Who else? Jay Baruchel was in it.
Oh, yeah.
The list just goes on and on.
Yeah. Tyra Banks has a role in this. Like,
there's Toby Maguire had a bit in it.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many people with just like random bit characters, all kinds of like, yeah. One of those like eras of Hollywood where you could get a bunch of like A-list or A-list actors into a comedy movie and they would do it, right?
Yeah. It's like, hey, you want to come shoot for 3 days and have a cameo in this movie?
And then they do it, right? And that's why the director gets killed after. Yeah. So early, because they only get him for 3 days. He can't have him for the whole movie. Yeah, all right. Maybe that movie is pretty decent. I should go back and watch that again sometime. I've been trying to think of, like, I want to watch, like, some... I've been trying to think of, like, I need to watch some movies. I haven't seen a movie in a while. But, like, what would be good, you know?
You know,
I always get paralyzed by that choice.
I have been meaning, I'll recommend to you the one that I have been wanting to watch for a little while now, if you haven't seen it yourself, is Glass Onion.
Oh, I have seen that. I watched that when that came out because I was very excited.
Okay, yeah.
So you haven't seen it?
I have not seen it. I love
You should watch that, and I would love to talk about it.
Okay.
You should watch that, and I would love to talk about it.
All right,
I'll throw that is a That is a fun time. I was a huge fan of the original Knives Out.
I have seen
it. Was. I don't know. I still am. That movie is great. The original Knives Out is great. It's way less fun the second time.
Sure, but like every movie that's got like the big twist, right?
Right. It is fun still the second time, but it's not as awesome as the first time where you're like mind is being blown the entire like second half of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Knives Out is Glass Onion. Or what is it? Glass Onion : Knives Out or whatever. I don't know what it is.
A Knives Out something. Yeah.
Yeah. Is good and it's different. So I'll be interested to hear your opinion if you end up watching it. So let me know if you guys get to it. I would love to hear what you guys think. Yeah.
So. I will check in.
I have seen it.
All right. And I think that brings us to the end of this episode, Michael, unless you have anything quick you want to throw in.
No, just that I'm glad that my Braves managed to save a little bit of face against your Padres to close out the day today.
Oh, I didn't know if you were watching. Yeah.
Yeah, the doubleheader. I can't believe that Atlanta blew that first game.
We got rained out on the like one of the intervening series, so Saturday. They had to schedule a doubleheader. Yeah.
Yeah.
We like absolutely murdered you the very first game, just like not even close. What was it, like 8 or 9-0 or something at the end of that one game?
Yeah, and the second game wasn't much better.
So I think the second game, though, wasn't...
The first game was the close one. The first game was 3-1. Yesterday was the 9-1 game.
Oh, that's right. Okay, there were four games. That's what I was misremembering.
Yes, there were four games.
And then the first game today, you guys beat us barely, right? Or was
no,
it the other? No, you guys creamed us this... This morning,
Atlanta was up 5-2 going into the eighth inning, and they lost the game 6-5.
That's right. Okay, we were down like basically the whole game, and we came back on that one. Right, because I think you guys got the 5 before the fifth inning or something. It was like very early, and they were shutting the Padres out almost the whole way, and then we came back in the eighth and ninth innings. And then the second game today, you guys beat us, and it wasn't close. I think.
Yeah,
I did not get to watch it.
It was Atlanta's pitcher threw a gem for 7 innings. He gave up 5 hits and no runs.
Yeah.
So it was a 3-0 shutout to at least avoid the sweep.
So the Padres will take it after losing 3 games to the Rockies. So, you know, we can don't know how to balance those scales exactly. Lose 3 games to the Rockies, one of the worst teams in baseball. Win 3 games out of 4 against the Braves, one of the better teams in baseball. Not sure how that works, but.
That's baseball, right?
That's baseball, yeah.
None of you are the Angels.
Well, sorry to rub the salt in, but I'm really enjoying these Padres at this moment after they've traded for Luis Arraez and seem to be vibing.
Hey, they look like they're having fun.
It is always a good sign when it looks like your team is having fun. Even if they're not winning, at least the hits are coming and they're playing the game, you know?
Yeah.
Really one of my favorite things about Arraez is that he's just like, I don't know. I just hit the ball. And like they interview him. It's like, you have like this really interesting batting style and like all this sort of stuff. And he's like, I just try to hit the ball. Like, I don't know. I just want to hit it.
I don't need to complicate it.
Yeah, he said, I just want to hit the ball and get on base. I don't even care if it's a home run. I don't even care if it's a good hit. I just want to hit the ball. Like, that's his whole thing. And, like, I forget, was it last night or two nights ago? One of those times they had, it was ESPN was showing the game.
Okay.
And the ESPN crew is not the usual, like, local San Diego crew that I'm listening to over here. And so they have their, whoever their sideline reporter is before the game, interviewing Luis Arraez, and he's like, MLB has just released these, like, you know, statistics about, you know, batting swings and speeds and all this, like, new statistics stuff, which, again, like, baseball people are, like, insane for statistics,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and, like, you have one of the slowest bat speeds in the major leagues. And then he's like, what the heck? what are you trying to tell me here?
Like,
yeah, and then he's like, but you are the, like, the batting champion of, like, the National League for 2 years in a row, and you have, like, one of the highest batting averages in the major leagues right now, right? And it's like, you know, it's like, what do you think about that? Is it something about the batting speed or whatever? And he's like, I don't know. I just want to hit the ball. Like, I don't, he's like, what do you mean? I don't know. I'm not, like, tracking this statistic or whatever. I'm not thinking about that, like, manually or something. Like, I'm not slowing the bat down intentionally. It's like one of those where it's like clearly a stat nerd talking to a guy who's just like, I'm playing baseball here.
Yeah. And it's so funny because there's probably more than any other sport, there's the biggest disconnect between how much stats are cared about by the players versus the fans.
Totally. It's like there are some, and definitely some of the players are looking at some of those stats, right?
But oh, for
not,
sure.
Not all of them. And definitely, like, maybe their coaches are, but they aren't, kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just very funny of him, like, trying to ask him about these advanced metrics that were new and clearly, like, plugging MLB's, like, new advanced metrics app or whatever they were talking about where you could see all this stuff, right? And the guy's like, I don't know, man, I just want to go out there and hit the ball and, like, get on base and then, I don't know, let Machado hit a home run, whatever, I don't care. Like, that's, like, not my business. I just want to hit the ball, you know? I just found it very funny. It's just, like, taking down the ESPN people. And then, like, the other funny thing about the ESPN broadcast is they're so into, like, talking about the, like, various clothing lines and shoes and stuff that all the players have.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, oh, this player on the Braves is releasing a series of sunglasses. Look, we all have them and we're all wearing them. Look how cool they are. Like, you can order them. And it's like, is this a paid advertisement? Are you guys getting paid for this? Like, what are we doing? I'm sorry for your loss there, Michael, though.
It happens.
Long season left. A lot of time left.
A lot of games to play.
Absolutely. And your division is easier than ours, so I'm sure you guys will have a decent shot at getting into the playoffs, whereas we will just lose to the Dodgers constantly.
Yep.
Sigh. Even though we have beaten the Dodgers more times than they have beaten us this season, but that doesn't matter because we lose to 3 games in a row to teams like the Rockies, so.
Yep. It's all what happens in September, right?
Yeah. It's enough to make you cry, right? All right. Well, if people don't want to cry, but they do want to talk about baseball, where can they send us information about that?
They can send that to podcast@wewergamers.com. Tell us what your team does that makes you cry.
Yeah. For me, it's definitely losing to terrible teams like the Rockies. But I do want to hear about your teams because baseball is weird.
You can also get at us on the social medias, and you should go check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@wewergamers.
We've got
some great playlists out there that Andy hand curates.
Yes, sir.